course, Galatians is the contrast between the law and faith, the two most common words that pretty much lay out the theme of the book. And he kind of gives that conclusion of that here in chapter 5, especially in verse 1. But we're going to look through the first 12 verses. He says, verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of this cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you." So I've entitled tonight, "Be Not Entangled Again." Be not entangled again. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would learn tonight. We would grow through your word as we continue through the book of Galatians. And Lord, you would work miracles in our hearts, in the hearts of those listening. And Lord, we would honor you by responding as the Holy Spirit speaks. And we want to honor you and pray you'd be glorified in the service and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand fast. In other words, I've corrected your wrong doctrine. You need to stand fast in the liberty. Stand fast. In Jude 3, when Paul was writing to Jude, he said that we should earnestly contend for the faith. And this is what he's saying to them. You guys need to now, your doctrine's been corrected. You need to stand fast. When these false brethren come in with their false doctrines, stand fast on the truth. Stand fast in the liberty. Now, he's not talking about liberty to sin here, is he? He's talking about the liberty from the law. As he says, wherewith Christ hath made us free. We've been freed from the law, freed from bondage, freed from adding on to salvation. We're free. We're free in Jesus Christ. And this is a theme not only of Galatians, but of Romans. Romans 8:2 says we've been free from the law. But notice Galatians 2:4. This has been a theme that Paul has tried to drive home for them all through Galatians. Chapter 2, verse 4. "And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in to privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." So there he mentions again the liberty. And then chapter 4, verse 26. Chapter 4, verse 26. "But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all." And then chapter 4, verse 31. "So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." And so he's trying to give them this, wrap this up and say, you have been freed. You have liberty from the law, liberty from bondage. And therefore, verse 1 of our passage, be not entangled again. Don't allow people to drag you back into bondage after you've already been freed by Jesus Christ. And yet, it happens so many times, even to Christians. They end up in groups. They end up in religions, cults, whatever you want to call them, that begin to teach them that there's more. You got to add to salvation, baptism, or maybe the Sabbath day, or whatever. And they just put themselves back under bondage. They get retangled up. In Acts 15:10, if you want to turn there, this, just to give you some context, Acts 15 is when the first Bible conference. So what was going on is it wasn't just Galatia. There were other churches. that were Gentile churches where Jews had come in and done the same thing and said, you got to keep the law, you got to be circumcised and so forth to be saved. And so they had this big Bible conference with all the apostles to say, what are we going to, what is our final conclusion? What is our word for these Gentile churches? And verse 10, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Why a yoke, of course, is, you know, what the ox, they put over the ox so that he can pull the plow. He said, why would you want to put this yoke on these Gentile Christians that we as Jews haven't even been able to bear? And that's all it is. It's a yoke. It's a yoke of bondage. And people get re-entangled. If you go to Galatians 4:9, we'll see this again. This bondage that people want to put Christians under. And by the way, when you constantly teach Christians that they can lose their salvation, that's bondage. That's a control thing. You're trying to control Christians by saying, you better be careful because if you sin, you'll lose your salvation. So you better walk the line. That's bondage. No, we are saved. We have eternal life. We are children of God. Heaven's our home. Galatians 4:9, but now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? So Paul says back here in Galatians 5, stand fast in the liberty and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. For I, Paul, say unto you, verse 2, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. In other words, it doesn't matter. It mattered in the Old Testament, but it doesn't matter now. Whether you're circumcised or not circumcised, doesn't matter. Heaven or hell has nothing to do with circumcision. It has only to do with Jesus. Verse 3, I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he's a debtor to do the whole law. If you're going to rely on your Jewishness, then you now have a responsibility to never break any of the law. And of course, we all know that that's impossible. And it says, yet if you yet offend in one point, you're guilty of all, the Bible says. He says in verse 4, Christ has become of no effect. If you're trying to be justified by the law, you've fallen from grace because you can't mix them. Paul said in Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If there's a way that you can earn heaven through works, then why did Jesus have to die? Remember to always ask people that question that think they can earn their way into heaven. Then why did Jesus die? If you could earn heaven by being a good person or getting baptized or whatever, then what was the point of Calvary? And they can't answer that question, of course. You cannot be justified by the law. We, verse 5, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We've talked about this, justification, imputation. It's by faith. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's called imputation, also justification. Look at Romans 3:22 and we'll see this. It is God imputing the righteousness of Jesus Christ to us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Romans 3:22, the righteousness of God which is by faith. There it is. Of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that what? Believe. Not them that do works, not them that keep the law, but them that believe. Romans 4:5, another one, turn over there. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So Paul in verse 7 is finishing up their growling. He says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? By obeying the truth, he means believing the gospel and getting saved. Remember he said in Galatians 3:1, who hath bewitched you? That's a pretty strong word. So he says on down, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. In other words, these false teachers, you need to get rid of them. Not try to convert them. Get rid of them. You know, you will see many times in the scriptures is basically three reasons, if you will, for church discipline. One, of course, is Matthew 18. If there's a difference, it can't be resolved, and people let it blow up. One, of course, is public sin. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And then one is when people come in and try to spread false doctrine. We see that in Romans 16 and 1 Thessalonians. The churches are told, don't let it happen. If somebody comes in and they're trying to spread false doctrine, kick them out. Don't try to embrace them and say, oh, well, we'll try to convert you. No, get rid of them. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He says that many times in the New Testament. What's he talking about? Bread, right? It only takes a little bit of leaven to make the whole loaf rise. What's he saying? He's likening leaven there to sin or false doctrine in two different contexts. And he's saying it just takes a little bit. Just one person trying to slip in that false doctrine, but it can affect the whole lump. In other words, it can affect the whole church. So, get him out. He says, verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none of the wise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. This person who's spreading this false doctrine, Paul says, I would, verse 12, that they were cut off. And remember what he said in chapter 1, verse 8. Turn over there again. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we've preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's some strong words. Titus 3:10 says, a man that's an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. And that verse that I was talking about, Romans 16, if you want to turn there, verse 17. He says, I beseech you, Romans 16, 17, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. So notice the issue here is doctrine. And avoid them. For they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So don't try to win them or befriend them. Avoid them if they're trying to spread false doctrine, because God says many false prophets are going out into the world. And the growling is over. Next week he encourages them to be walking in the Spirit, which we'll actually look at camp. But yes, he says, whatever you do, don't be entangled again. You are free. You have liberty in Jesus Christ. You have justification through Jesus Christ. You have imputation through Jesus Christ. It's done. Don't get re-entangled with stuff, with observing days, with people telling you that there's got to be more. I mean, even the charismatics do this, don't they, with the tongues. They say, oh, it's good that you got saved, but you need the rest. You need to speak in tongues, and otherwise you're really not there yet. No, we're there. Amen? If you have salvation, you're there. You're going to heaven. You're going to spend forever with God in heaven. You're God's child. You don't have to add to that. Don't get entangled in anything, because we're free in Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for reminding us tonight of the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ from bondage. And now may we take that freedom and that liberty, as you say on down in verse 13, and use it to serve one another. So thank you, Lord, for teaching us through your word tonight. We love